John chapter 10. I'll be reading the first 15 verses along with verses 27 to 29. So please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Hear now God's word from the gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Moving over to verses 27 and 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Almighty God, many of the teachings here have been loved by your church throughout the ages for good reason. But Lord, because of sin in our hearts, we need your Holy Spirit to take these truths, these words, this teaching of Christ, the fact that he's a good shepherd, and the fact that we're sheep and all that that implies, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to impress this upon our hearts. So give us the faith to believe that Jesus is good, to understand this, to understand that we need him as a shepherd. So Lord, use this text, use the preaching of your word, and I seek your Spirit's unction once again in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you hear these famous words here in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, what do you think of when you hear I'm the good shepherd? How do you actually picture Jesus in relation to you and your life regarding his claim, his declaration that he's the good shepherd? And perhaps you've been noticing in my sermons, I have been mentioning a lot lately that God really is good, that God really is a good God. In fact, he himself in his very being is good. But there's a problem with this fact that God is good. It's that deep down, we really don't believe it. Or perhaps it's that we don't want to believe that God is good. Where does this come from? Well, it comes from sin, rebellion, distrust dwelling deep within our hearts and souls. It makes us distrust, disbelieve Jesus' declaration, "I am the good shepherd." The result of our distrust is that we keep looking for our highest good in all kinds of substitute shepherds. Just think about your life for a moment and the things you pursue apart from Christ, away from Christ, and maybe you'll begin to see what I'm saying, that we look for our good, our blessings, in all kinds of other good shepherds than Christ. And when we look for our goodness, our blessing, good things in substitutes, truth be admitted, we really don't get the shepherding, the true, comprehensive, unfailing, never fail us or let us down love and care and guidance and commitment and protection that we really need. Because all those other good shepherds will always, always fail us and let us down. And part of the hard truth that this passage is revealing, that we really are like sheep. We ultimately, and this really goes against our self-sufficient American pride, we ultimately can't take care of ourselves. Just look at the mess that we keep making of this world and of our lives and of our families. We only, like sheep, we only keep straying into bad places, and the history of humanity and the story of each one of our lives only proves this out. And so the gospel good news here in our passage is Christ's announcement that he truly is what we so badly need. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who loves us so much, so deeply, so profoundly, so comprehensively, that he has even laid down his life for the sheep. So let's dig into our study of Jesus' great announcement. In fact, this, by the way, is the fourth of his great declarations, the I am declarations. I am the good shepherd. That's what we're going to focus on, not on his declaration here on the door, but on the fact that he is the good shepherd. And I want to begin looking here at John chapter 10 by looking at the first two verses where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, in Jesus' day, when not out in the pasture, when the sheep weren't out in the pasture, the sheep were kept, especially overnight, in a sheepfold. It's like a large corral, a pen, and it usually had rock walls enclosing the sheep. And in fact, commonly, several families, a number of families, they'd build a sheepfold, a pen big enough to hold all their flocks. And then at night, they would hire somebody to watch over the sheepfold. That's the hired hand. Okay? Somebody to watch the sheep and guard the gate, the entrance into the sheepfold. And then as we see here in Jesus' teaching, that there's also thieves and robbers. They couldn't enter the gate into the sheep. They couldn't enter through the gate because it was guarded. And thus, the way that they would have to get to the sheep is to jump over the wall or climb over the wall, sneak in some other way. And what is a thief and a robber but someone who seeks to deprive someone of their property, perhaps even by violence if necessary? And so with that idea of false shepherds, thieves, and so forth, if you think about the context in which chapter 10 is falling, and you think of the events that have been happening from chapter 5 on, you'll realize that Jesus, when he's referring to thieves and robbers, he very likely has in mind the religious leaders who were hostile towards him, even seeking to kill him because he was such a threat to them. Now, when it comes to the imagery here in John chapter 10, that is the imagery of sheep and shepherds and the self-serving attitude of the religious leaders, it's hard not to think of the passage that was read earlier in our service, Ezekiel chapter 34, where God presents that terrible horrible indictment upon the evil, self-serving religious leaders of Israel. Consider, for example, the first five verses of Ezekiel 34. And I believe I'm leaving some of it out here, but here's the first four verses of Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. That's the religious leaders. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and says to them, Thus says the Lord. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you don't feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So God, having presented this terrible indictment to the leaders, he then turns his attention to the people of Israel. And his God's entire demeanor here is transformed as he then turns his attention to the people of Israel. And he tenderly then begins to refer to the people, not the religious leaders. He begins to refer to the people as my sheep. And if you understand a proper shepherd in relation to his sheep, you'd understand that's more than a claim to ownership. And it is that. When God says, my sheep, well, he did redeem the people of Israel out of Egypt for himself. But when he says, my sheep, it reflects more. It reflects a personal, loving, deep, caring relationship. It reflects the relationship of a loving shepherd towards his cherished sheep. And many shepherds are known for their deep, profound love for their sheep. And so, moving on, in Ezekiel 34, God says regarding his sheep, verse 10 through 14, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will rescue my sheep from their mouths. Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them. And I'll bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. It's a picture of God gathering, finding, locating, bringing them, and providing a bounty of plenty for his sheep. It's a shepherd who loves his sheep and cares for his sheep. And so, remembering that there has been bad shepherds over the people and that God actually is a good God who cares, he then continues there in Ezekiel 34, verses 23 and 24. And this is pointing to Christ. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be a prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. And again, this ultimately refers to the one whom David was a type, the coming one whom David pointed forward towards, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the true shepherd, the shepherd who truly loves his sheep. And the bottom line then of this Old Testament background regarding Jesus' teaching in John chapter 10 is that not only were the religious leaders against Jesus, but they were also thieves and robbers who are more interested in their own personal pride, their own personal advantage, their own personal gain than they really cared about God and cared about God's flock. And we see that thievery, that robbery, that those cold, calloused hearts, for example, in John chapter 9, when Jesus, remember the miracle? We just looked at that of Jesus healing that blind man. When they realized that Jesus had healed a man who had been blind from birth, those religious leaders should have been crying out, Glory be to God. This poor beggar who had been reduced to begging and poverty by his blindness, he can now see. Our hearts are overflowing with joy for this poor man. But what did they do instead? They excommunicated him. They cast him out from the community of God's people. They were bad shepherds. They were thieves. And so, here in John chapter 10, let's look at verses 3 to 4 with all this in mind regarding, here in verses 3 to 4, Jesus as the good shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, Jesus' original audience, they'd pretty well be able to picture everything and understand everything that's going on here. So here's what this is referring to. At night, remember, often multiple families would have their flocks in the same sheepfold, the same sheep pen. And so at night, there'd be a number of flocks gathered together in that sheepfold. And then in the morning, each shepherd would come along. And here's what's amazing about this scene and what Jesus is describing. You see, those shepherds did not have to brand their sheep or in some other way mark their sheep so they could tell which sheep were of their flock. They didn't have to do any of that. It's really amazing. There was such an intimate relationship between each flock and their shepherd that when those sheep heard their shepherd's voice, they and they alone would go out that gate to their shepherd. It's an astounding thing. It must have been an amazing thing to see. A shepherd coming up, maybe calling to his sheep, and only those sheep would come out of the pen because they knew his voice. But here's something else regarding that relationship of intimacy and knowledge and closeness. You see, those shepherds did not use sheepdogs. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think most of us, if not all of us, have pictures of sheepdogs driving and directing and guiding the sheep and so forth. But in these settings, there was such a strong bond between the shepherd and his flock that, as Jesus says, the shepherd would go ahead of them and the sheep would gladly follow right along behind him. He didn't even have to be saying much of anything. They just follow. This is my shepherd. He cares for me. He loves me. Such an intimate bond. That's what Jesus is describing. And this then in turn is meant to teach us something very special about the relationship between Christ and his flock, the church. And even between Christ and each one of us. There is that bond between us and Christ. And we're meant to know his voice so well that when he calls, such as through his word, the preaching of his word, we follow. This is the good shepherd. And I know he loves me. You see? And because he does love us, and because he does want this sort of a relationship, this sort of a bond to grow and increase between us and him and he and us, well, that's why he gives us his word. And that's why he gives us church every single Sunday so that we might have all these wonderful means of grace as a feast for our souls so we might grow downwards in our unbelief and upwards in our belief and love of the great shepherd, you see. That's why church is so vital. And there's something else incredibly special about this relationship between Christ and his flock. Jesus Christ is a religious leader. Of course, he's the religious leader. Jesus Christ is not a religious leader who merely gives advice or rules for you to keep. Do this, don't do that, sort of disconnected. What you have to understand, and John's gospel and Paul's letters bring this out so wonderfully with just a few simple prepositions, this sheep shepherd is right here with us, his sheep. Even right now, he is present amongst us in a very special way in worship. He sends his Holy Spirit down to us and into our hearts so that Christ, through the Spirit, is dwelling in us, in our hearts. And thus, he really is able to declare, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's right here in our heart. Yes, he's dwelling in our hearts, leading us to good things, guiding us to life and to heaven, teaching us of his good ways, and protecting us from evil. With this in mind, consider Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you really believe that? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they guide me. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. That's a symbol of blessing. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is a picture of the love relationship between the good shepherd and his sheep, and all of the blessing, and all of the love, and all of the care, and all the provision, and all the protection. And that's why God's people all through the centuries have loved Psalm 23 so much. It touches something deep in us. And so with this wonderful picture of Jesus as the good shepherd leading his sheep and loving his sheep, and the sheep knowing his voice and following him, let's turn to verses 11 through 15 here in John chapter 10. Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and they know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now let's consider what Jesus is declaring about himself here. First of all, verse 11 and same thing, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. That's twice he says this. Verse 11, verse 14. That double repetition, that double declaration of the same thing, I am the good shepherd, tells us that this announcement possesses tremendous significance for us. Please let this sink in. Jesus is not just any old religious leader, any old shepherd. He says it very specifically. He is the good shepherd. Jesus is God, and a fundamental attribute of God is that God is good. I mean really deep, deep down, wonderfully, truly, blow our minds, even hard to comprehend and believe, good. And if there's really anything that we need in life, it really is for Jesus Christ to be our good shepherd and for us to order our very hearts and lives under his shepherding care. And to better understand what I'm getting at here in terms of our needing Jesus to be our good shepherd, we have to consider what it means for us that God refers to us as sheep. And brace yourself. Because to be compared to and to be referred to as sheep, while it may present an accurate picture of ourselves, it is not a compliment. It's not a compliment, but it is reality. So exactly what are sheep like? And why do sheep need a shepherd? Well, Philip Keller wrote a book, a very popular book. You might even have this book. It's titled, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller was himself a shepherd, and he writes this about sheep. Sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require, more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance, Keller writes. The bottom line is that sheep can neither thrive nor survive in any state of well-being for very long on their own. In fact, apart from the guidance and protection of a loving shepherd, sheep are actually unable to survive for very long at all. They may be unique. I don't know. They may be unique in the animal world, that they are animals who simply won't survive without a shepherd. In other words, sheep like us are dependent and needy creatures who all too often believe that something is good for them when the truth be admitted, it isn't good for them at all. That describes our lives, isn't it? Hey, I need that. That's good for me. That's going to bless me. And then a little bit later we realize, no, it was bad for me. Or maybe we never even own up to it. Philip Keller goes on in his book to tell of the time when he watched a flock being led by their shepherd to a clean and pure mountain stream. But even while the sheep were being led to this clean, pure mountain stream, some of them refused to go any further. They stopped, instead quenching their thirst in the muddy pools that were beside the trail. The problem with the water that was beside the trail was that many other flocks had already been along that path before, and so that water was polluted by urine and manure from the other flocks. And he comments, quote, "Still those stubborn sheep were quite sure that it was the best drink obtainable." Don't we see ourselves in this? Don't we? And then he also mentions that left to themselves, sheep, even when you place them in a lush, well-watered pasture, they're going to wander away from those green fields. They stray. And when they stray, they inevitably end up in dry, barren lands. This is why we need a shepherd. We're like them. This is the history of the world. This is why we need Christ. And here's the bottom line of this. We're always either trying to be our own good shepherd, or we're trying to find the good shepherd, our good shepherd, anywhere and everywhere but in Christ. Isn't that true? Either I'm my own good shepherd, I know what's best for me, I'm able to lead me and care for me and discern in all of those things, or, hey, there's my good shepherd. Anywhere but Christ. And so, do you see what Christ is telling us when he announces the good news that we need to hear? I am the good shepherd. He's not only declaring that he truly is good, I mean, really and truly, from the very depth of his divine being, good, but also, and I'm indebted to Timothy Keller for this, that he also has to be our everything. When he says, I am the good shepherd, he's really saying he has to be our everything. He has to be the exclusive one whom we look to and follow for our highest good. Do you realize that? So on the one hand, we tend to look to something or someone else other than Christ to be our good shepherd. And you might ask, well, what's the problem with that? Please understand, absolutely nothing in all the universe possesses the infinite capacity, the infinite power, the infinite goodness, the boundless wisdom to be and provide what we really need. Nothing possesses even close to the extent of what God possesses. Everything else in the universe is limited in the good it can provide. And it doesn't care, by the way. Everything and anything you look to apart from Christ to be your good shepherd will always, always, always fail you, let you down, throw you under the bus in the end. That's just the truth. And if you look to yourself to be your good shepherd and you tell yourself, I can take care of myself and my life just fine, I'm in control, well, you're just plain silly. Maybe even stupid, if you think you're in control. Remember the analogy here. We're sheep. We're always going astray. We always wander away. We always end up drinking from filthy pools. Remember, God reveals in the Bible that sin affects and permeates and pollutes every part of our being, our thinking, our reasoning, our desires, our wisdom. And that's why God has to inform us that we're like sheep. We can't truly see our way. We can't even think our way to truly good things in life. We just keep making a mess of everything. I've realized for a few years now that I actually enjoy reading dystopias. Even when I thought, who'd want to read a dystopia? I realized I was reading dystopias. What are these dystopias? Well, they're stories in which people have attempted to build the ideal society. Or they've attempted to build an ideal city. Maybe develop an ideal philosophy, which they believe is going to be the good shepherd, you see. But you see, when you read those stories, in the end, those utopias that they were trying to build always, always, always turn bad, turn terrible, turn oppressive. And when we try to be our own good shepherd and to be in control and control our own life and seek our good shepherd anywhere but in Christ, our life always ends up being a dystopia, and we end up worse than when we began. It's just reality. So again, when Jesus declares that he's a good shepherd, he really has to become our source of everything good. He has to become our everything. And if that scares you, remember, he's not the bad shepherd. He's not the bad shepherd. He really and truly is the good shepherd. So to go back to the sheep analogy, sheep, remember, are different from other animals. They really can't discern what's good food, what's good pasture, and what's bad. What's good water, what's bad water. Remember the story just a moment ago of the sheep drinking from those polluted pools along the path. That describes our life, doesn't it? Sheep need to be led to good food. They can't discern bad water from good water, so they have to be led to the good water. They constantly wander off to bad places, even falling off of cliffs. Again, doesn't that describe us? And so they have to be led and guided and cared over. In fact, without a shepherd, sheep will eventually end up dead. So do you see what Christ is seeking to teach us here? He has to be our comprehensive everything. That's what the shepherd is for the sheep. They're that needy. He is their comprehensive everything. But even when we come to faith in Christ, because deep down we still don't completely trust him, we say to him, okay, Christ, I'll trust you here, but over here and here and here, well, I'm going to maintain control. I'm going to be my shepherd in these areas. And you know what happens. Those are the very areas in which we find ourselves repeating that familiar phrase, I've made a mess of everything again. Woe is me. Right? And some of you have even heard me say this. If only I could go back in a time machine, maybe 20, 30 years of my life, and have a talk with me. You know? Sit myself down, maybe give myself a good swift kick in the you know what, and because we keep being our own shepherd and we make a mess of things. But regarding this whole declaration, Christ saying, I am the good shepherd, you might ask, but how can I know that he's good? How can I know that he's good? Well, Lord willing, I want to expand on this next week. But for now, consider first of all the contrast he draws between the good shepherd and the hired hand. Look at verses 12 and 13. Jesus says, "He who's a hired hand sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Now look at the contrast, verses 14 and 15. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Think about this for a moment. Jesus is God, and that means he knows you completely. There's nothing about you, there's nothing in your life that he doesn't know. Terrifying, isn't it? It's terrifying. We would expect Jesus, since he knows everything about him, we would expect him to be like the hired hand who doesn't care and just walks away. And yet look at how good he really is towards us. "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. It doesn't say that the good shepherd lays down his life for the worthy, for the perfect, for the put together, for those who really do well in life. It says he lays his life down for the sheep. Dumb, stupid sheep. Timothy Keller tells a story of a Russian soldier who embezzled funds. And the soldier realized that he was going to be caught, and so he decided to commit suicide. And so he got drunk that night. And before he could kill himself, he got so drunk that he passed out. And as he was passed out in his room, along came the Tsar. And the Tsar came in the room and looked at all the books of this soldier who had been embezzling, who had been stealing funds. And he figured out, this guy's been stealing funds. And the Tsar then wrote a note to the soldier, "I will pay your debt." The next day, the soldier came to. He realized the Tsar had looked at the books, and the soldier said, "He's seen my heart, he's seen my sin, and yet he still redeems me." The good shepherd knows everything. He knows you're a sheep. He knows you completely, and yet, if you're wondering if he's good, and yet he still lays down his life for you, so you could be his and he could be yours. The good shepherd knows you. He knows everything about you, the good and the bad. He knows all of your bad. He knows all of your stupidity. He knows all of your shortcomings. He knows all of your sin. But to our astonishment, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the good news of the gospel. This is grace, amazing, astounding, incredible grace. When you're struggling to believe that Christ really is good, and that he can't possibly stick with someone like you, or that he can't possibly care about you or love you, reflect on this passage. Reflect on the cross. Reflect on his goodness. Reflect on the extent of the grace that he keeps extending to you every single day, every single moment. Reflect on the fact that just as a shepherd is totally devoted to his sheep, yes, even when his sheep are bad, even when they stray, he steadfastly loves them, and each and every single one of his sheep are his beloved, are his treasured possession, and why he would even die for them. Can't you hear the cross? Can't you hear the cross crying out to you, shouting to you how incredibly good he is? Can't you hear the cross shouting to you how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how full of grace he is, how much he really, truly has your best in mind? "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to believe you're good. We confess we're full of distrust. We confess that we keep looking all over the place for good shepherds except to you. We confess that we're proud and stubborn and believe we know what's best for us and we will take the best care of us even better than you. Oh Lord, forgive us our sin. Thank you that you are the good shepherd. Fill our minds, our thinking, our hearts with wondrous thoughts and faith of just how good you really are. Oh Lord, help us to trust you, to listen to your voice, to follow you, knowing you only lead us on good paths, into good pasture. Oh Lord, glorify yourself in our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' most precious, wonderful name. Amen and amen.